the J-Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk Podcast. Ben Maxwell and Sam Robson with you. And Sam, as we record right after Japan have finished playing Ecuador on Tuesday night, I'm in the very unfamiliar situation of feeling quite positive about Hajime Moriyasu's Japan.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I thought, especially the game against the USA, although the US were rubbish, I thought Japan played very well. And then tonight, a second string side against what is a very good Ecuador team. They did very well in South American qualifying, very difficult to beat. And I thought Japan's second string put up a reasonable fight. I think there are still some issues that need to be worked out. But yeah, overall, I'm a bit more positive about Japan after these two games than I was before.
Indeed, indeed. So, yeah, two really interesting games, contrasting games and contrasting performances from Japan. But, yeah, Ecuador on Tuesday night, they were, definitely up for it. This game was a friendly in name only. Both teams really went at it, and it was a proper scrap. Japan didn't necessarily have to suffer much in the game, Sam, but there were chances for Ecuador, some good saves from Daniel Schmidt, of course, notably the penalty inside the last 10 minutes when he guessed correctly from Ena Valencia's spot kick. But yeah, for me, this was the perfect kind of tune-up, a really polished performance against the USA last Friday. And then, yeah, a game that we might see Japan have to suffer through in the World Cup where, I mean, they're playing Germany, Costa Rica and Spain, and you know, there won't be any easy games there. So Japan are going to have to learn to deal with pressure and learn to deal with the difficult situations. They had some of those to battle through tonight, and yeah, as I say, overall I thought they handled themselves quite well.
Yeah, I thought especially defensively, they generally coped with most things. Like first half, it was only a couple of corners that were slightly flapped out that weren't necessarily dealt with well. But in open play, but for Taniguchi's kind of lack of concentration in conceding the penalty, I thought they were pretty solid at the back. I thought Nagatomo probably had one of his best games for Japan in a long while, I thought. Yamane was good, and generally Taniguchi and Ito performed well. Midfield, Tanaka, I thought, was good. That's kind of their engine room as well, Ecuador. So I think there was three in there against Tanaka and Shibasaki, and generally I thought they competed pretty well. And it was just there was still something lacking going forward. Furuhashi started, didn't really get much of the ball, and yeah, it was tough for Japan, especially in the first half before Kamada came on in the second half. It was tough for them to really create chances, which I think is the area that needs to be worked on. But yeah, I thought definitely looked quite solid, and a lot of those players put their hand up and said, we might not be first choice, but we will come in and we won't let you down when we come into the side. So I thought it was good from that aspect. Anyone in particular impress you
From tonight? Well, the defense was good. I mean, as you say, Nagatomo was impressive. He'd obviously seen Yuta Nakayama seemingly take his shirt last Friday night, so he wasn't going to give that up without a fight. He was very, very impressive, I thought. My old mate Takumi Minamino, unfortunately, nothing really stuck for him, but I'll give him credit. He was busy. He went looking for the ball. It didn't. It looked like he was wearing clogs for most of the first half. But he got stuck in. Unfortunately, Furuhashi, nothing went for him. That one chance when the ball was presented to him 5 minutes before the end of the first half, didn't quite hit his shot as well as he would have liked, and the keeper made a good save. But yeah, your old mate Tanaka, it was good to see him get in there, because obviously, yeah, we feared for his spot after Hajime Moriyasu switched from a midfield three to a two against the USA. And yeah, and unfortunately for Tanaka, it looks like he's the odd man out with Hidemasa Morita and Wataru Endo doing so well. But Tanaka certainly, again, he didn't do his chances any harm. It looks like he's third in the pecking order at the moment. But he reminded us what he's capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he was generally very comfortable on the ball. He still can put himself about as well, so he's not afraid of the physical challenge. So I think, yeah, as a third choice centre mid, or the option if he does go back to the three-man midfield, I think that's perfect. But it is difficult to see him getting past Endo and Morita. I thought those two on last Friday or Thursday, whenever the game was, they looked really good in that midfield. They were, because it was all built on Japan's pressing, but you don't get, if the front go and you don't get that from behind, it doesn't work. And I thought Endo and Morita were so good at hounding the midfield, so good at getting forward, and generally comfortable on the ball as well. So I think that midfield too is sorted. But yeah, Tanaka as an understudy or even as a third man, I think is a wonderful option.
Indeed, and I shouldn't let your question pass without also mentioning Kaoru Mitoma, who was as lively as we all would have expected him to be from the start. A good running battle with the Ecuadorian number six down his left wing. The Ecuadorian right back booked early for a challenge on Mitoma as he looked to break away. But yeah, those two had a good scrap throughout. And yeah, obviously the Ecuadorians were pretty clued up on Mitoma's threat, because they he did get a lot of attention out on the right hand touchline, the left hand touchline for Japan. And ultimately I think they kind of blunted Mitoma's threat, but he was always lively and looking to receive the ball. Japan did try to play down his side the majority of the time, I felt. And it ended 0-0, mainly thanks to some good saves from Daniel Schmidt. And most notably, as we said, the penalty save late on. It's really interesting the way, I guess, as we kind of bridge the two games, Sam, the way that Mr. Moriyasu has seemingly set his stall out here with a first 11. And obviously that's all we can assume from the two games and against the USA, and then yes, the second team tonight against Ecuador, and in particular the way he divided up the minutes for the lone striker in his 4-2-3-1. We saw Daizen Maeda get the first half against the USA, Shuto Machino get the second half against the Americans, and then, as you mentioned, Furuhashi the first half tonight against Ecuador, and then ISA Wada, who did have a couple of chances, it must be said, after coming on at halftime for Moriyasu against Ecuador tonight. So all four of them got a chance to stake their claim. I don't think they're all going to be in the 26, Sam, and we're obviously going to come on to break it down how we think the squad will settle later on in the episode. But yeah, I guess the assessing the merits of all four after their performances across the two games, did anyone shine out in particular for you?
Not particularly, to be quite honest. I think he gave all four a chance. And the team wasn't really set up to get the best out of any of them, I don't think. I think Ueda probably did the best. I think his movement was a little bit better than everyone else's. He got stuck in a little bit more, was more willing to drop deep. I think Machino tried that as well, but was generally bullied off it as but like the profile of striker that Maeda and Furuhashi are, they like to play right on the edge. They want through passes to them. Neither of them really got it. I think Furuhashi got that one from Mitoma, which he didn't quite get on the end of, but like Maeda fed off absolute scraps in his game. So yeah, I just didn't think it was set up for either of them. It just confirmed to me, and I don't know whether that's me, I think in the same way as Moriyasu, but it confirmed to me that Osako is the best option for that, because he will drop in. You get a lot more out of him. And I think it also helps Kamada as well, because I thought his game is just kind of floating behind the strike, going beyond the striker. I think he could do that quite well with Osako. So, yeah, it confirms to me that Osako should be the main choice. I think Wade has probably performed the best out of them. I know that Furuhashi is probably the best striker in terms of his club form and whatnot. But if Japan are going to continue to play in this manner, I don't think it really works with Furuhashi or with Maeda up front. Yeah, but do you have any other differing opinions on that?
Yeah, it was really really difficult for both of the Celtic lads, wasn't it? I think there was that, yeah, similar to Furuhashi's tonight, where he couldn't quite latch on to Mitoma's pass. I think there was one for Maeda, maybe from a Junior Ito pass in the first half against America that he couldn't quite latch on to. And didn't quite go for either of them, did it? Well, I think we can flat out say it didn't go for didn't go for them at all. But I think you mentioned last week, and I don't know whether it made the final edit or not, that maybe Machino was the best equipped to perform an Osako impression. And I think we saw that in the second half against the Americans. He did try and drop back and hold the ball up and try and bring others into play. Whether he was effective enough in terms of actually creating chances for others, or actually looking to get on the end of something himself, I think he left a little bit to be desired in that instance. And then that leaves Wada. You know, judging from the way that Moriyasu spaced them out, he might be fourth in the line. But yeah, he did have two excellent chances. One was a really awkward header from across from Yuki Soma that was behind him, and that he did well to get even in the direction of the goal, and it flashed narrowly wide. And then after Ritsu Doan's shot was saved, his reaction header went straight to the keeper. But in terms of chances that the four of them got, I think Wada was looking the most lively. That doesn't mean I think he's obviously the best of them, but judging off these two games, I think, as we'll come on to, there's a possibility that one of the Celtic guys might even miss out. So we'll see about that. The first game against the USA, obviously Japan were very, very impressive, and it took me by surprise, to be honest. America slightly under strength, I think. Obviously, the headline was that Christian Pulisic didn't play, but Japan just pressed America pretty much the entire 90 minutes, Sam, and the Americans didn't really have any answer to it all throughout the game. They never really got up to the pace of the game. Kamada scored a good goal. VAR decided he was just onside in the 24th minute. And then, Mitoma came off the bench and did what he does, ghosting past two before using a third defender as a screen to score with 2 minutes left to wrap up an ultimately very comfortable 2-0 victory for Japan. And, so many impressive performances in that game from Japan. We mentioned Morita and Endo in central midfield. The defence was rock solid and restricted to the USA to no shots on target. But, Kamada, I think, was probably the headline act of the front four. He obviously got his goal, but was lively throughout. And, he's staking a claim very much to a starting spot for that first World Cup game against Germany.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been doing that for his club for a long while. I mean, he's been very successful with Frankfurt, obviously won the Europa League last year. He's never quite managed to replicate that sort of form for Japan, but I thought his performance in both games, actually, when he came on against Ecuador as well, was terrific. I just think, he's very comfortable. He's on the ball. He's quite physical as well, but he'll go beyond the striker. I thought his finish was very good. I just think his link-up plays, I think he offers a bit more than Minamino. I think Minamino, maybe at his best, can offer exactly the same, but he's in a situation where he's had such a tough time at Liverpool, not really getting too many opportunities. He's gone to Monaco. Again, he's not really playing too much. I think he's low on confidence at the moment. And I just think Kamada looks like that best option if they are going to play a number 10, because, he also has suffered from the switch in formation, which is now switched back in his favour. But, I think he played really well. Another one I want to ask you about is Takefusa Kubo, obviously playing left-hand side in this. It's kind of a different area than he usually plays. How do you think he got on in that position?
Yeah, he wanted to get involved. I think he relished the opportunity to start. But, you'd just love to see him move the ball on a little bit quicker. Obviously, he's a very gifted player and a lot of confidence in his own ability. But sometimes maybe he should trust in his teammates a little bit more. He's a difficult one to figure out because, again, I'm not really sure he's suited to Moriyasu's system. But I know you can't leave a player like him out of the squad, for example, and it's good to see him get an opportunity to start in a game like that. But he might be the only one out of the in inverted commas first team that I think Mr. Moriyasu might have reservations about starting against Germany. I mean, for me, it's one of those games where he's kind of on the fringes, but doesn't quite do doesn't quite do enough. It kind of leaves you wanting more, I think.
Yeah, I kind of see him and Doan as quite similar in that they've got all the technical gifts in the world. They always look good to a point, and then it's just kind of that final pass that just, or they try and go and take on a man too much or something like that. I just think they're, compared to maybe Mitoma, who's maybe a bit more clinical in his decision making, and Ito generally has been as well, another slightly different players. But yeah, I just think those two are just slightly behind where I'd have Mitoma and Ito. The interesting thing though with Kubo is that tactically, and I'm trying to get into Moriyasu's head as to why he wants to play either a Kubo or a Minamino on that side rather than Mitoma, but he would funnel into a midfield three when Japan would defend, and they'd play Maeda, would go out to the left, Kamada would take the centre forward position, and Ito on the right. So it kind of gave them decent balance defensively, and they pressed from that position. So I can sort of get where he's coming from in that sort of player, but yeah, I mean, it's just hard to look at the way Mitoma plays and not put him in the starting 11. So, yeah, and I thought he proved in the Ecuador game, Mitoma, that he is decent enough defensively. Obviously, he's played for Union as a left wing back, so he's had to learn that. And generally, he's played there for Brighton, although their system with under Graham Potter is like left wing back in name only. They don't really do a great deal of defending, but I think he's proven that he can do that defensive job and will work for Moriyasu. But yeah, it's just one of those where I think we're all going to watch and see that first team sheet, and Mitoma is going to be on the bench, and we're all going to all have a collective sigh. And then, yeah, maybe he'll come on and do wonders off it. But yeah, that's the interesting one. But yeah, do you think there are any more areas of concern in this team? Any positions that you think, oh, I'm really not sure which way to go on that?
Well, I think after last Friday, I only think that, yeah, the left-hand side of midfield is really the only area. I mean, there were, I guess some people might have had concerns about Takehiro Tomiyasu coming back in at centre-back, despite not playing much at all for Arsenal at the start of the new Premier League season, and indeed playing at right-back when he has featured for them. But yeah, for me, he slotted straight back in and was very impressive against the USA. Again, I mean, we always have slight concerns about the goalkeeper, don't we, Sam? I mean, yeah. Gonder and Schmidt aren't they're not world class, but Gonder did everything that was asked of him in the first half against the USA before, you know, going off after, I think, hopefully just getting winded after that that tumble he took towards the end of the first half. But, yeah, I mean, Schmidt's done okay. A couple of ropey moments, didn't he, early on tonight? But, yeah, I think overall, and, you know, he's obviously saved his bacon by saving the penalty. So, areas of concern, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be too concerned after that performance against America. And then, again, as I said, the scrap tonight was really enjoyable to watch. Obviously not one for the purists, but yeah, the sort of game that Japan, as I said, might have to battle through in the World Cup against some really difficult opponents. So as I say, it's unfamiliar territory, but overall feeling very positive. So shall we move on and discuss who we think is on the plane? I think we did this at the last international break. I can't remember exactly the numbers we had. I think we've obviously got, we will have had a lot more spots locked up now after, again, Moriyasu named pretty much all of his favourites. And, I mean, has he made our choices easy by doing this first team, second team thing, Sam? We'll thresh it out in the next few minutes. But I guess before we begin this little chat about who we think's on the plane, what does the extension of the squad from 23 to 26 mean for how you think Moriyasu will handle? Do you think he might include an injury risk player or two because he's able to basically name they're kind of free hits? To use a cricketing expression, or how do you think you'll divvy up the extra three positions that he's got available in his squad?
Yeah, it definitely allows for that injury risk, whether that is Osaka who's not fit, maybe it's Itakura who maybe not fit for the first game or so, but might come in later. You can have that sort of thing. I think it also, I would use it as kind of versatile players. I think Hiroki Ito would be one, especially if Itakura is fit. I think Hiroki Ito would be the one that would benefit, I think, from that, just because he can slot in at centre-back, he can play left-back, he could play a back three with him as well. So I think those sorts of players benefit from it. You can also have a bolter as well. You can go for that kind of gamble player, that kind of bolt from the blue, maybe the guy who's just comes into form at the right time. I don't know who that necessarily might be. Kind of in this squad, they've named 30, but you've got Shuto Machino, who'd obviously played so well for Shonan. He got his chance here. So you get those sorts of players as well. I'd love it to be Makoto Mitsuda as the 26th man just to come in. But after the way he was used in the East Asian Championships, it's maybe not that. But yeah, that's what the way I would go for it. One injury risk, one kind of versatile or a couple of versatile players, or you get that real bolter that might just be that kind of spark that's needed.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so for the purposes of this exercise, shall we assume that Ko Itakura, Yuya Osako, and Takuma Asano are going to be fit, Sam? Obviously, Osako's just returned to the Kobe first team, came off the bench and scored two goals to win them the Kansai Derby in their last league match. So let's cross our fingers and hope that he remains fit. So let's include him in our considerations. And are you happy that Itakura and Asano will be over their injuries in time for, well, first for Mr. Moriyasu to name his squad, but then I guess, yeah, he'll have to obviously consider, as you said, how available they'll be in the early stages of the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm not massively hopeful, to be honest. Both have got kind of torn knee ligaments. It's not like they're going to be out for months at a time, but their time frame seems to put them in and around the World Cup. So they're not going to have much football going into it, which is, it is definitely a concern. But I'm hopeful that Itakura will be pushed to be able to feature. Asano, I think, is less of a worry. Like, I'm not sure he'd necessarily make my squad anyway. I know he's a Moriyasu favourite, but there are so many players in Asano's position that I think he is less of a worry. But yeah, if you can get Itakura fit, and even if he's fit for a couple of games, I don't want to bring necessarily England into this, and I know Harry Maguire isn't flavour of the month this at the moment, but going into the Euros last year, Maguire wasn't fit going into it, but would have been at the end of the group stage, and he played, came in, and then was named in the team of the tournament. So I think there is room for that. And yeah, as I said before, the 26-man squad allows that. So I think Itakura, fingers crossed, will be fit enough to make that squad, but maybe not first game.
Rightio then. Okay, so I don't think we'll have any disagreement on the three goalkeepers. So we all have we both have Shuichi Gonda, Daniel Schmidt, and Eiji Kawashima on the plane.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Kawashima will be there.
Yes, but we don't agree with it, but yes, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I would still go with the younger goalkeeper. I mean, if you want Kawashima there, take him as a goalkeeping coach. I think that would be absolutely fine. But yeah, I think Kawashima will be the third choice.
Yep, okay then. So fullbacks, the four from this squad, I would imagine, would be the four, and I have the four on the plane. The last time we did this, I was concerned about Hiroki Sakai's fitness, but he obviously is back playing for Urawa, and he was terrific against the USA. So Hiroki Sakai and Miki Yamane as the two right backs, and Yuta Nakayama and Yuto Nagatomo as the two left backs. I'm sure that's fine by you as well.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if that's not the four. I think there could have been an occasion if there was a 23-man squad and you think, okay, Tomiyasu can do a job at right back, we might cut one of those for a place elsewhere. But with a 26-man squad, I think that's fine, and that's almost certainly going to be the four.
Okay, so centre-back Maya Yoshida obviously will captain the team. Takehiro Tomiyasu likely to be his central defensive partner for the first game against Germany, and indeed the entire tournament as far as Japan go in it. And Shogo Taniguchi, a couple of years ago he wasn't even in the frame, I don't think. But yeah, he's well and truly there now, and he's guaranteed on the plane. Again, we're assuming Itakura, again, fingers crossed, Itakura is going to be fit, and he will go. And yes, Hiroki Ito will be, the ninth defender, Sam. The expanded squad to 26 means that Moriyasu can take an extra defender. And I think, Ito's versatility helps him out, and it means that he's likely to be the ninth man in defense on the plane. Are we all in agreement so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if Itakura is a fitness doubt, it makes much more sense to have another player there. And Ito's playing regularly in the Bundesliga, so I'd almost consider him higher in the pecking order than Taniguchi, although I think Taniguchi is the safe option for Moriyasu. But yeah, as it stands, we're all aligned.
Rightio then. So this is where it might get interesting in central midfield, because, yeah, I think there are a few Celtic fans who are calling on Rio Hatate to maybe turn in his Japan passport and try and get a Scotland one after not featuring at all in these two games over this international break. So that obviously raises a massive issue about whether Hatate will make the 26. Wataru Endo, Hidemasa Morita, Ao Tanaka and Genki Haraguchi, I would say, are certainties in the central midfield spots, Sam. So it's a matter of, do you have Hatate on the plane? Do you have Gaku Shibasaki on the plane? Or is there a potential bolter like Kento Hashimoto? Presuming you have the first four up to Haraguchi, what are you doing in terms of Hatate and Shibasaki? Sorry, not what are you doing, but what is Moriyasu doing? Who's on the plane?
Yeah, they've completely different answers. But I just can't see a world in that he doesn't take Shibasaki. For whatever reason, he's very much favoured. He's generally just playing in Spanish second division. He's playing okay, I suppose, there. And he was all right tonight. I think he'll make the squad. And the bolters, there are options. Hashimoto, I think, is one of them. I think Kawabe is another one that could come in. Mm. He's obviously watching Grasshopper if he's seen he brought Seko into this squad. So I think those are two options, but... yeah, Hatate, I think he's been fantastic for Celtic. I think he plays really well in that position on the left-hand side of a three. I think this formation change to a 4-2-3-1 does not help Hatate at all, because I don't see him playing in one of those midfield two positions. I don't think as a whole, because you kind of have to be a holding midfielder to play that role in this Japan team. I don't think he's that. Yeah, he didn't get any minutes in these two games, so I just can't see him being in Moriyasu's thinking necessarily, and I think he'll be one that drops out. I think Celtic fans will be both furious and delighted that he's got 2 months off to rest for the rest of their games, but yeah, I think he's one that's maybe comes in as the 26th man, but I think he's right on the edge, and I'm probably looking at him dropping out, and that wouldn't be my decision. I definitely have Hatate in my squad. I'd have played him a lot more, but yeah, I just don't see Moriyasu picking him. Have you seen anything that would suggest that Hatate makes it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't look good for him, obviously. So, I mean, well, if you would have him in, then how would you utilize him? Obviously, he wouldn't be a starter for you, but where would you be looking to get him involved if he's going to play this new system, which, as you say, isn't suited to the way he's playing at Celtic at the moment?
Well, that's the problem. If I was in charge of the Japan side, I'd play three in midfield and I'd play Hatate on the left of it. So I just don't think, yeah. So maybe he would have had more of a chance maybe 6 months ago when that was the preferred system. But yeah, now I just can't see him fitting in, because I think he could do an okay job as a winger or maybe as a number 10, but it's not really his preferred position. So I think there are better options in this squad. So I just don't see Moriyasu using him.
All right then. So just for the sake of keeping records, did you have Shibasaki on the plane, or is he still a question mark?
I think he's on this plane, which I wouldn't give him a ticket, but I think he is on the plane.
Yeah, okay. So why don't you go first with the attacking midfielders?
Yeah, are we grouping them together like the Japan national team?
No, I don't like that. I cannot get used to that. That really riles me up. So, yeah, we've just done centre mids. So, yeah, hold off your strikers and, yeah, just give us your attacking midfielders.
So I've got Ito and Doan over on the right. I've got Mitoma and technically Kubo, I suppose, on the left. And I've got Kamada and Minamino as the number 10s.
Okay, bang on. Yep, I have the same six. So, Yuki Soma obviously didn't do his chances any harm tonight. I guess he figured, yeah, he had 15 minutes to come on and run about and make himself look busy and, maybe set something up for a teammate here and there. And certainly mission accomplished in that regard. It's just a matter of if maybe he might be the 26th man. I don't know. But he's an option for Moriyasu, a possible bolter. Does he need a bolter in this area of the pitch, though, Sam, when he's got, those six players that we've just listed off and possibly Soma. I mean, a bolter is usually a young player, isn't it? But could this possibly be Kota Mizunuma's finest hour? Who knows? I don't know, again, whether he would stretch to a player like Mizunuma over Soma, who he has used quite a bit. But, yeah, is there space for one more player other than these six, do you think? Or do we need them all up front?
Yeah, I think we kind of need the options up front because we haven't got any. Like, this, I think those players mentioned there, I think they're all very good players. I think you say Ito, Kamada, Mitoma, maybe the first choice, but then if you go Doan, Minamino, Kuba, I think that's still a very good option. So, yeah, I can't see anyone really breaking into that. They would need an injury, I think, before you would consider Mizunuma, Mitsuta, Morishima, whoever it might be. So, yeah, I think you're going to have to keep the options open at centre forward, because I think that's where more of the help is needed.
Right. Okay. So I've got Osako and I've got Asano on the plane, and that's, I guess it's kind of, we're switching roles here in a similar vein to you with Shibasaki. You just can't see him leaving him out. If Asano is fit, I don't think he's going to leave him at home. And that means that at least one of Furuhashi, Daisen Maeda and ISA Wada are going to be left at home. Obviously a lot of people would be really disappointed at that. That doesn't even factor in much, you know, who obviously, as we said, was a pretty, it was decent at a minimum against the USA in the second half last Friday. So, I don't have any of those apart from Osako and Asano on the plane, because I think there are question marks over how effective they are in Moriyasu's system and how much faith he has in basically every single one of them. So I don't know whether it's going to come. Well, I guess it should come down to who is in the best form coming up to when he has to, name his squad, who's scoring the most goals, who's looking the liveliest, etc. And obviously an injury could crop up between now and then as well. But I don't know. Are you prepared to push the boat out and put any of these guys on the plane?
To be honest, I was further away than you. I had none of these guaranteed on the plane.
Oh, right.
When I was drafting it up. But I was hoping, drafted it before the game, I was hoping Furuhashi would put in a real performance to guarantee his place, and that didn't really happen. Like, Osaka has not played for Japan for a long while now, and I still think he is the perfect player for the system, but and having not played since February, I don't necessarily think he's a guarantee. I still would have had him within the squad even if he was just training for this period. I know that maybe he wants to keep his fitness up and work out at Kobe, but I would have just brought him along if he was going to be used for the World Cup. So Osaka would make my plane. And I think Asano, if he's at all fit, would make Moriyasu's plane. So I do agree with you on that. The decision is really difficult, because you would think, just looking at the players, Furuhashi would be a no-brainer. But like, really, he's not played that well in the system for Moriyasu, so it's hard to say that Moriyasu would be, oh, yeah, absolutely, Furuhashi's there. Maeda, again, I think he seems to prefer him if you're going off that first game against the USA. It doesn't make much sense to me to play Maeda over Furuhashi, but maybe Moriyasu considers him ahead of it. But if you look at these two games, maybe it's the way through who gets the best chance. So I really don't know what he's going to do, and I think it will just come down to who is in the best form of going into the World Cup, I think, because at the moment it's hard to really choose between them, and they all had 45 minutes and all did various levels of not a lot, except for maybe a way that was slightly better.
I reckon quick calculations, we're currently at 22 players before we get to the strikers, so it might be even worse than we first feared about in terms of who's going to make it or not, as there's apparently, according to us anyway, only four spots available. That means obviously that we're including Shibasaki and not sending Hatate to Qatar. So if Osako is Moriyasu's favorite and Asano is another, then that means only two of Furuhashi, Maeda, Wada, and Machino, let alone a bolter like Yoshinori Muto, who's seemingly out of the picture now, could make it. So All we can do is watch and see how these players perform in the next month and a half, and until it's time for him to make that that big decision. But imagine how hard it would have been if it was only 23. We're struggling with 26, but it's really a struggle, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I just can't really figure it out the way he's going to go. Let's say Osaka Asano, Furuhashi, Ueda is my guess at this moment, but I'm not really sure, to be honest. And yeah, if it was a 23-man squad, I think we'd be really struggling, especially, it might be to the joy of everyone that Shibasaki was one of those that was cut and in a 23-man squad. But yeah, I'm glad it's a 26-man because... yeah, I do fear for some of my favourites in a Moriyasu squad if he has to cut it three more.
Indeed. All right, then. So, overall, a productive international break for Japan, full of talking points. The 2-0 win over the USA last Friday, and then, that battling 0-0 draw against Ecuador on Tuesday night. All right, we'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll round up the Levain Cup semi-finals, and then we'll look ahead to Saturday's J1 Match Day 31. Welcome back to part two, and first let's round up the Levain Cup semi-finals played over two legs over the last week. Cerezo Osaka made it through to their second straight Levain Cup final after a 4-0 romp away at Urawa in the second leg on Sunday. Reds were left to rue missed chances after equalising in last Wednesday's first leg, but they returned home with what looked like a vital away goal after a 1-1 draw, only for a Takahiro Akimoto own goal in the 23rd minute and a clever close-range finish from Hiroaki Okuno on the half hour to put Cerezo in control of the second leg. Mutsuki Kato's header early in the second half made things safe, and Jean-Patrick put the icing on the cake with a breakaway goal with 10 minutes left. So this was quite a statement from Cerezo, Sam. As I said, Reds would have fancied their chances heading back to Seistart with an away goal. But Cerezo well and truly put them in their place on Sunday.
Yeah, they did. They were fantastic. They gave Reds a real lesson in how to take your chances. They were clinical throughout that second leg, especially. And I mean, the first leg, the Wajo's goal was absolutely incredible. I've got to mention that. But yeah, in the second leg, they were very well organised defensively. They rarely were stretched by Urawa. And then when they went forward, they looked a threat every time and they scored their four goals. And I thought they were thoroughly deserving of their victory. Reds, I think, were pretty poor in the second leg. They made a couple of changes. Like, they lost David Moberg. He was out, and without that little bit of quality and ingenuity, I think they lack something because, the three players, they're all working hard, Matsuo, Okubo and Matsuzaki, but generally speaking, they were very easily contained. And, Cerezo at the other end were fantastic. So, they really deserve their place in the final. And, it's going to be an interesting one after the other game.
Most definitely. So, Cerezo's opponents in the final at the National Stadium on the 22nd of October will be Hiroshima after they held Fukuoka to a 0-0 draw in the second leg at the Edion Stadium on Sunday. Their 3-2 away win in the first leg, taking them through on aggregate, obviously by the same scoreline. Takumu Kawamura's brace, which sandwiched a Tsukasa Shiotani header, put Sanfrecce into a commanding 3-0 lead before the hour. But a late brace from Wanma set up an intriguing second leg as Avispa sought to make it through to the final for the first time, only for Hiroshima to see them off and make it through to their first Levain final since 2014 when they lost to Gunma Osaka. So, Kawamura scored twice in the first leg, Sam. He also hit the post in the second. And, if Mitsuta was the breakout star for Hiroshima in the first half of the season, then Kawamura has, I think he's taken his mantle, hasn't he, in the latter stages of this season. He's been absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He's played in so many different positions, from wing-back to attacking midfielder just off the striker. He's been back into central midfield for the last couple of games. And, he's just on fire, isn't he? Everything he touches, except for that one at the post, turns to gold. And, he's been magnificent. I thought Hiroshima, they were given a bit of a head start in this the first leg, because Avispa decided to rest a lot of players. Obviously, staying clear of relegation is their main concern, so they didn't want to risk too much. They named a weakened side, and Hiroshima took full advantage to go 3-0 up. And credit to Avispa, they made a few changes, got a few of the better players on, and got back into the tie. But for the second leg, it was very comfortable for Hiroshima. They didn't have to exert themselves too much. They sat in, and it was so difficult for Avispa to break them down, and ultimately they couldn't. So I thought very professional from Sanfrecce Hiroshima, and I quite like the makeup of this final. They're probably the team, sort of third and fourth most impressive teams this season, obviously behind Yokohama and Kawasaki. I think they are deserving of a showpiece final. I know it's not necessarily what everyone dreams of when you've got the national team, a stadium, you're not getting to anyone from the Kanto area, so it might not be the biggest attendance that you would necessarily get, but I think it should make for a really intriguing final, because both teams have played supremely well this season.
Yeah, that's right, and they're obviously finishing the campaign in decent form as well, so no complaints from me about the makeup of the final. Obviously commiserations to both Reds and Avispa supporters, but we have the teams currently sitting third and fourth in the J1 table, and battling it out for that third automatic ACL qualification spot. So the shapes as an intriguing one. Cerezo looking for their second League Cup title, and Hiroshima their first, which is some listeners might be surprised to hear, obviously after they were so strong winning three J1 titles in the early 2010s. But yes, they've never tasted League Cup glory. Cerezo, as I said, have done once before, but I'd say they have unfinished business, Sam, after their poor performance in last season's final against Nagoya. So both teams certainly plenty to play for. But before we move on, I do have to say you're being very diplomatic there in your comments on Fukuoka playing a much changed team in the first leg at home last Wednesday night. You weren't so complimentary about the manager, Mr. Hasebe, in our Patreon-only line group, were you?
No, I'm not. I think they should have gone for it a lot more. There was 10 days before the next league game. Give yourself a chance. That's the first ever semi-final. To make a final, the boost it would have given Avispa, I think, in the relegation battle, to have made a final would have been, and it was there for the taking, considering they only played a proper team for one leg and then 10 minutes or so for that first leg. I think it was there for them, but I just think it was an opportunity lost, and I think it was overly cautious. But if they stay up, I suppose they'll point to it and say it was a good decision. But it's not what I would have done, and I think it was an anti-fun decision from the Avispa manager.
Sorry for calling you out, but I completely agree with you. No, I completely agree with you. So that's why I did it, because as you say, goodness me, you have the chance to make a final for the first time in your history, so why don't you give it a full crack? That was disappointing. They obviously still had the opportunity to turn things around in the second leg, and they weren't quite good enough to do it. So ultimately, it hasn't worked out for them in any regard. But it would have been nice to see them have a proper crack in front of their home support last Wednesday night. But as it was, as we say, commiserations to Reds and Avispa. But well done to Hiroshima and Cerezo, and it does shape as a tremendously interesting final on the 22nd. All right, and so we'll wrap up the episode, Sam, by looking ahead to what's coming up in match day 31 of the J1 season. Domestic matters return on Saturday, all nine matches taking place, and afternoon kickoffs are back in full force with the worst of the summer heat behind us. Obviously that means a very early start for you over in the UK, Sam, but you'll have to have an extra strong cup of coffee, because you'll need to be right on it, as the games at 2:00 are absolutely massive, highlighted of course by the blockbuster Shizuoka derby, when 12th placed Shimizu, who are just 3 points clear of the second automatic relegation spot, host bottom club Iwata. And it's shaping as a last chance saloon time for Jubilo, but we've seen in the past couple of games, Sam, S-Pulse have frozen after taking the lead. If they can't kick that habit, this could be an absolute epic. I mean, the tension will be palpable at Nihon Daira.
Oh, he will do, and they've buckled under pressure so far, Shimizu, and it doesn't come much more pressure than a home derby game against the team bottom of the league that you really have to beat. You're very much expected to beat them, so I think it's a good opportunity for Jubilo. We're all worried on the Shimizu bandwagon that it's all going to come falling in, but I think this is a really exciting game. It's a difficult one to call. Like, two or three weeks ago, I said Shimizu absolutely nailed on. We're going to blow Iwata away, but each game Iwata just hang on, and yeah, I can see them pulling out a result here, so it's a really exciting one. But as you say, those 2 p.m. kickoffs, they're all massive games at the bottom, and then I'm sure Cerezo will think at the top as well. But yeah, Avispa versus Kobe, I think, is another really interesting one. Both teams just outside of it, but the loser of this game obviously is right back into it. You'd say Avispa, now that they've rested all their players, I'm sure they'll be fit and firing to go. Kobe have still got injury issues. I think it's come out today that Tula will miss the game, Ino is going to miss the game, Iniesta's still not fit. So, yeah, there are still issues for Kobe. And, I think this proves to be a really fascinating game. And, again, I think more so if Avispa lose, then I would really fear for them. So, yeah, a massive game for this one. And Shonan as well, away at Cerezo Osaka.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I shouldn't ask you for a pick of the weekend. Maybe I should ask you for a time slot of the weekend, Sam. Time slot
of the weekend.
But yeah, at 2 o'clock, I mean, it's going to be three nail biters, no question about that. In terms of the relegation zone, yeah, obviously five dogfighters represented in the three games. But yeah, as you say, Cerezo looking to nail down that third spot in the table. They could at the end of the match day, they might finish above Hiroshima if they can win, and Reds do them a favor at the Edeon Stadium. But yeah, in terms of the dogfight, 2 o'clock is absolutely massive. Fukuoka Kobe is almost as big as the Shizuoka Derby, of course. And again, it'll be not many fingernails left, I'd imagine, at the end of the 90 minutes at the best Denki Stadium. So then at 3 o'clock, we have Hiroshima hosting Urawa. So Cerezo have just done a number on Urawa, but now they're hoping for a favor from Reds against their Levain Cup final opponents. Then we have in the dogfight Kyoto, who are 16th in the promotion relegation spot, away at Tosu. And unfortunately for me, kind of a nothing game now, Kashima versus FC Tokyo. And then at 4 o'clock, the last of the dogfighters, Gamba, who are 17th, they host Kashiwa. We finish the preview of the match day, Sam, with the top two. They are both away from home. Yokohama F. Marinos, the leaders, of course. They are away at Nagoya, who have just played spoilers a couple of times in their last two league games, Sam. And Kawasaki in second spot head up to Sapporo, who are capable of anything. And their games are usually pretty mental. So, obviously we can't take anything for granted in this league. I wonder how things are going to look in terms of the top two at the end of the match day. Do you think there might be a banana skin slipped up on?
Very possible. Nagoya away, they've not shown that this towards the end, like over mid table, but they're still battling for points. They're still making things difficult. It's not been easy for anyone going to Nagoya. They'll sit in, they'll make things very difficult for Marinos. So it's not the greatest fixture you can have away from home. But then likewise with Kawasaki against Sapporo, I think a couple of years ago, Sapporo were one of those that just Kawasaki were on an incredible run, and then Sapporo out of nowhere came and beat them. And yet you have no idea what you're going to get with Sapporo. Surely it can't be back-to-back 0-0 draws with Sapporo. So there's got to be goals in this one. But yeah, it could go absolutely either way. So yeah, difficult one to call for that one. I'm not even going to make a guess, because it'll definitely be wrong, and I don't want to sway it one way or the other. But they're both very intriguing ties, but kind of different opponents. So I'd expect maybe one more open game against Sapporo, one more tight, and they might have to grind out a result F Marinos.
Yeah, I tell you what, if Sapporo have another 0-0 against the other team in the top two in consecutive games, I think we might have to shut the whole league down, Sam, because that will just prove that it makes no sense at all. And I think we should all pack up and go home. But it promises to be a fascinating match day. 31, no question, at both ends of the table. Obviously, those dogfight six-pointers at 2 o'clock, though, are, yeah, absolutely huge. No question about that. So, yeah, overall then, a positive international break for Japan. Yeah, two interesting Levain Cup semifinals over their two legs. And, yeah, a bumper match day 31 to look forward to. And, yes, I look forward to rounding up with it with you on next week's episode, Sam.
Yeah, it should be fascinating. I'm delighted and annoyed that the early mornings are coming back for me. And this weekend I have to cover Brazil, so this is going to be a very long Saturday. So, yeah, I'll try and get some sleep in somewhere. But, yeah, I wouldn't miss these early kickoffs for anything. They should be fascinating. And, yeah, I probably should get out of here now because Skype is disgusted with me and once it keeps cutting out. So, yeah, we might need to cut this as soon as possible.
All right, that might be a hint that we need to end the episode then. So that's it for this week's episode of the JTalk podcast. Sam and I would like to thank our patrons for their ongoing support on Patreon. If you'd like to get involved, please visit patreon.com/JTalkPod. And listeners, we'd like to thank you for listening wherever you are. We'll be back next week to round up J1 Match Day 31. Speak to you next week. Bye for now.
The J Talk Podcast. Yes, 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 yes.